Headliner Radio, the creative voice.
On today's podcast, we're joined by New York-based composer and music producer Jay Wadley, who's here today to talk about composing the score for Apple TV's latest miniseries, Franklin, starring and executive produced by Academy and Emmy Award-winning Michael Douglas. The show explores the story of the greatest gamble of Benjamin Franklin's career. Hey, Jay, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thanks you so much for joining from New York. So are you in a home studio at the moment, or do you work in another studio?
I have a studio down in Dumbo, Brooklyn. So just on the water, on the just opposite from Manhattan. So like near the Manhattan Bridge in Brooklyn that I've been in for the past 4 years. But I've had a studio, like a proper, you know, studio in the city for about 10, 11 years now, that I share with another composer named Trevor Greckus. And he and I started a music production company about 14 years ago or so together. We've been buds for 18 years now, I think, or 19 years, something like that. It's kind of crazy. We met each other in grad school and had an idea to kind of stick together and, you know, share resources and kind of grow our careers together. And we're still doing it today, which is pretty awesome. So we have a studio in Brooklyn called Found Objects, that, you know, we have a team that works here. You know, we have a small live room, 5-1 mix room, and both of our composing suites with booths and all that stuff. So we, you know, pretty functional, which is great. Yeah. Mm. So we don't have to worry about it. It's kind of hard to do the home studio thing in New York City, with small spaces and, you know, not properly treated rooms and all of that stuff. So this place, we got very lucky, and it was already built out fully, functioning post-production mix facility, that we just kind of, came across and walked into, although it was January 2020, and about 3 months later, we sent everyone home.
So, oh, yes. You know, and we all know why. But those are different times. Yeah. So what are you working on, if you're allowed to say, you know, at your business at the moment? You know, you've got any new jobs coming in that you're composing for?
Yeah. There's a number of things I'm working on at the moment. As far as I'm aware, I can talk about them all. But I'm working on season two of Hulu's Tell Me Lies, which I did season one of. Mm-hmm. And doing a new Apple series called Before with Billy Crystal, which is kind of like a psychological thriller piece. So he's starring and executive producing as well. And then I am working on a new film with David Mamet. New feature there. That's an adaptation of his play that he had go up in Los Angeles, I think sometime last year. Working on that. And, you know, there's always a number of things going on here. But and Trevor's working on a Netflix series at the moment. And, you know, we always have a number of things going on. But yeah, there's it's already shaping up to be a pretty crazy year, because there's lots of things in development. I have a lot of friends who are finishing features this year, so it'll be an exciting one, I think.
Well, great to be busy. And you mentioned Apple TV. They're cranking out, you know, some really, really good quality programming, of course, which is great for you as well. In turn, you get to compose for all these really glossy, high-end dramas. I'm really enjoying what they've had on there so far, and that just leads me seamlessly into Franklin. So, you know, this is, I was reading the synopsis. I've only seen the trailer so far, because it's not out yet, of course. So, you know, the fate of the American independence hangs in the balance, leading Benjamin Franklin to embark on a secret mission to France. So we're talking, you know, one of the founding fathers of the US, you know, a drafter and a signer of the Declaration of Independence. So no pressure. Where do you even start with something like this?
I mean, you know, you kind of, it's all just one step at a time. You can't think of it in too grand of a scale in that way. But, you know, it's a big story, and it's a big representation of it too. And very grand in scale on all accounts, and high stakes across the board, you know, both in history and in practice with the with the project itself. You know, it's obviously is an important story to tell, and tell authentically, and tell with a unique perspective, and with, you know, with you know, Tim behind the wheel, Tim Van Patten, our showrunner, you know, wanting to keep it very, you know, very, very smart and very elevated and edgy, has a little grit to it, you know, not the sort of more glossed over period pieces that you see a lot, you know, that kind of glorify what it was like to live in that time. You know, that was something that was like really informative for me on how I would approach the score, thinking about, you know, he was like, look, it was dirty. And those wigs smelled, and everything was like pretty nasty. So, you know, don't shy away from things being a little edgy. And, you know, so thinking about the way that I was producing the score and thinking about how it should sound is like not overly polished and pristine in sort of a sterile way, you know. So. Yeah, obviously there's it's a big story to tell. There's a lot of details. You know, it takes place over the course of 7 or 8 years, you know, so it travels, but really, you know, at the core of it is sort of you know, Franklin's love for his country and passion for, you know, what he believes in, you know, how this sort of American experiment, you know. And so the way that kind of informed the music was trying to find some sounds, especially, you know, to bookend the piece, but something that could kind of carry throughout the season as well, that felt like it had this sort of nostalgic love for America. So, you know, using sort of Americana horn lines and some, you know, references to kind of fiddle music and in some of the textures, you know, this is all like incorporated into a more modern cinematic scoring approach, but wanted to have that at the core of the material that then would, you know, travel and live in France for many years and then kind of return to it, if you will. So yeah, that was a lot.
That was a lot. Like, it is a lot, though, isn't it? It is a lot to kind of cram in there, you know, of how to even approach this. And it's so huge in scope. And yeah, so how important is it for you to consider the cultural or, should I say, historical context of a project like this when composing?
You know, I don't think that there's any one, you know, one specific right answer. I mean, I think you can go into it in a variety of different ways. I think it's just whatever the sort of lens and perspective that the project itself asks for, you know, because there's plenty of period pieces that kind of go in an anachronistic, like, musical direction that's not relevant to the time or place necessarily, you know, and that's equally as valid of an approach for an effect. So I don't, you know, but this film, this piece in particular, you know, there's a lot of diegetic music, like, you know, music on camera. You know, one of our main characters, Madame Brion, is a composer herself. You know, so there's a lot of musical moments on screen, and just the, you know, the tone and the language in which the show is told, through which it's told, is you know, you know, it is trying to transport you into that time and that place a bit, and it's a more personal, like, you know, it's through Franklin's perspective and his lens on it. And you know, so the production value is very modern. It's very grand, but it has this edginess and it has this, grit to it. And, I think you know, for me, the way I was trying to balance most of the thing needed to be able to communicate to a modern audience, and to be able to tell the story in a way that felt fresh and relevant. But, you know, there are, yeah, how do I draw from things that would maybe tie us into a sense of place in France or the type of lifestyles that the aristocracy, you know, they were living, which was very ornate and florid and you know, excessive in ways. So, you know, the way I kind of tried to to draw some inspiration from that was, you know, taking some notes from like late Baroque and early classical period music. In the album, you can hear it specifically in Try Harder, which is, sort of drawing some inspiration from Vivaldi, something that feels very sort of, ornate is the best term for it, you know, and it kind of plays this transition of Temple Franklin, Benjamin Franklin's grandson, who's another, you know, lead in the show. And his transformation from this sort of, you know, dirty, grittier American clothing and personhood, you know, to being kind of dressed up in this French style that's like very fancy and very, you know, put together. And sort of that's a metaphor for like his whole transition kind of throughout the season. As he kind of assimilates more and more into French culture and into the French court. So that theme kind of comes back a lot when he's trying to, you know, step up and kind of find his place in French society.
Okay. And where did you start? Which was the piece of music that you composed first for the show?
You know, funny enough, I don't typically do this, but I just started at the very top.
Okay.
Sometimes I like to try to start a little later, in either an episode or a film or a season, to kind of think about where I need to go, you know, and have a destination to be able to work back from. But this one, yeah, I mean, they already had the edits in each of the episodes. You know, there was so much material in each episode, and the themes were really clear, and like who our characters were really clear. So, you know, and I think even from the script level, I just had an idea of where it was going. So there's a really big dramatic opening scene, a couple scenes, honestly, that really, you know, gave me a lot of runway to play with thematic development and establish these colors and tones in a way that that I didn't feel like held back by, you know, needing to, you know, reserve myself. You know, I think that's the big thing, is like oftentimes like you don't get too much opportunity to establish or run too much like with the music early on, and you usually get to that point later. But the first episode, there's so much drama to it already that I was able to, you know, yeah, there was plenty of opportunity for me to find those moments to establish themes and structures and things that would be, you know, handy for me later on. And I was really focusing on trying to build very, very strong, recognizable themes that would be able to be manipulated and develop with our characters over the course of a whole season, because, you know, they come back a lot, and they are, they needed to be versatile.
Mm. And you blend traditional orchestral techniques with modern composition to capture the essence of Benjamin's character and his journey. So how did you strike the balance between traditional and modern there?
Well, you know, the production and the writing is very modern for sure. You know, the traditional elements that I try to incorporate into it, I mean, besides like using, you know, motifs and manipulating motifs in a more classical tradition or more traditional filmic manner, I was borrowing, if you will, like techniques from the classical and Baroque eras and like, you know, inserting like the way that the bass lines move or the way that the techniques in the violins, especially in those in that track that I was talking about, Try Harder track. And then also there's one, man, that relates to John Adams when he arrives. I'm blanking on the track at the moment, but I could follow up with it. It takes from the it, 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 it borrows certain types of tones and ways that the strings move and the sort of gestures that they use that are more of that period. Even though like the production on them, it's very modern. It's very, you know, forward and, you know, it's not like the most naturalistic, like just like putting them in a hall, you know? Yeah, so it's like finding the balance there, which I felt like it was successful. And like once you know, I found once a cue would come together, even if it was like leaning really modern and I wanted to insert some of that, there were always ways that I could find, like, you know, in this piece called Arrival, it's pretty modern for the most part, but then, like, you know, at some point in time, there's this very particular bass line when they're arriving, and they're just like bum ba dum bum ba dum dum dum, you know, which is like a very kind of like period sounding sort of thing that I wouldn't do if I was, you know, I wouldn't use that type of bass gesture if I was writing something in a more modern vernacular. But you know, paired with all the other things that are going on, it still feels fresh and new, and it doesn't feel like, okay, that's specifically classical, but it draws from that, so it has this core and this reference place for it. So
okay, with that in mind, what instruments did you make? What were your choices there?
Benjamin Franklin's his main theme is, you know, largely in the French horn, or horn. which, you know, I felt like had a sort of majesty to it. It had like an importance to it, but it also felt nostalgic and, you know, reflective and pastoral in ways. And then, you know, some of the figures around him and his traveling kind of have this fiddle type string line that carries with him. You know, the comedy stuff was largely dealt with in the strings and flute, some lighter things, but I try to treat a lot of the comedy and stuff between him and his grandson. There's some piano and celeste in there as well. But I tried to treat a lot of the comedy stuff as much as I could with more period sounding music, as a way to, you know, continue to like, achieve a lightness of the scene without it being too jokey in the music.
Yes.
You know, to try to keep it elevated and try to keep it feeling sophisticated. Temple Franklin's, his theme is mostly sort of, it's kind of like an inversion of Ben Franklin's theme, like kind of moving in an opposite direction. It's a descending line, and Franklin's is an ascending line, and they kind of, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but, you know, they kind of go in opposite directions for a while. And I used a lot of organ for like mystery, organ and like violins for like mysterious moments. Sometimes I use cello if I needed to kind of bring a little bit more emotion out of the Ben Franklin theme. I'd put it in the cello. I mean, harpsichord was, you know, brought into the more period things to just kind of lend more authenticity to that sound. But I would say those are the sort of the main features for the most part.
Okay. And do you have a particular favorite cue that you worked on, whether it be that it was used particularly effectively or that, you know, maybe one was a bit of a harder one to kind of crack in the first place?
I mean, you know, it is, I'm kind of going back to it. It's a little bit of an outlier. I mean, there's a lot that I love. I love the main title. I love the first cue as they're arriving. It's called At Sea, and Arrival. Love those cues, but I think, yeah, there's for whatever reason, I'm like particularly fond of my of my track Try Harder, because I love the way it works in the show, and that's the one that's the, you know, sort of Baroque and most Baroque influenced, early classical kind of influenced piece. It was just really hard to write because it's, you know, not my typical language that I write in. And, so I had to do a lot of listening and research and kind of like studying up and brushing up on my skills from grad school. So,
you know, they came in handy again.
Yeah, totally. So that one was a lot of fun. I was really, really pleased with how that turned out. And, you know, it's just like so many notes. It moves so quickly. There were a lot at the end of the show that I really loved how I would like, I ultimately was able to kind of bring the themes to a conclusion. There's one called March, that plays on the battlefield that I really love. I think it's called America Bound is like the final cue on the album, which was like, you know, sort of the most triumphant version of Franklin's theme in a pretty like direct and accessible way. You know, it has this sort of like swinging 6/8 kind of like big horn line and string line moment thing that's really nice. So I mean, honestly, like this is probably some of my favorite work I've ever done, on a multitude of levels. I mean, it's just, I feel like it was really in a sweet spot for me of what I, both love and am best at. So
nice combination. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. Well, sometimes I talk to composers and they might say they went down, you know, one particular thought pattern and then abandoned it. So I'm curious, were there any pieces of music or even just an approach to the score for this that you maybe tried out and thought, you know what, this isn't working, or anything along those lines?
Not that made it to anyone's ears besides mine, I'd say. I mean, there's
did you do a hip hop remix, something mad like that?
No. I tend to try to avoid those goose chases as much as I can. I don't know. I felt very lucky in that, like, it as once I watched the show, it spoke to me, and it was like it was pretty clear to me. The way that I wanted to treat it. And so I don't think I wrote anything else, beside like when the first cue out I wrote and the first cue out the door that I showed to anybody was At Sea. And that's the opening of the show. So it was just kind of like straight from my fingers. I mean, you know, it takes time to get there where it's like, okay, this feels like what it needs to be, and craft it there. But yeah, thankfully no, like, you know, dead ends on this for sure.
That's good. You're clearly refining the process, you know, knowing what's good for it. So that's good for your instincts.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about instruments. So what about in terms we look at the studio, you know, bits of equipment that you find yourself using, let's say time and time again, do you have, you know, a few go-to pieces of studio kit you were always drawn towards? It might be, say, a specific plugin, or, you know, a DAW that you rely on, or, you know, studio monitors that you rely on.
Yeah. I mean, I work in Logic, and, you know, I've got all my instruments laying around here for inspiration. You know, I've got a upright Yamaha, the piano that I do most of my writing on. I've got like some Moog synths, like the Matriarch and Voyager that I you know, even used in this show, some, you know, for texture and support in the bass and everything. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the one of the best investments I've made in my studio in the past couple of years, is my studio monitors. I got some ATC 50s that I just absolutely love, and, you know, they're kind of like mastering quality speakers, but the ability to hear the tone of the instruments and the sounds that I'm creating with that amount of detail is like life-changing.
Well, that's exactly what you need. You need to know that it's going to sound good, essentially, just to break it down. But, okay, so it's out. The show is out very soon on Apple TV. By the time this podcast goes out, it will be out. So will you be tuning in to watch it, or have you seen, you know, every episode enough by now?
I was hoping I could make it. I know it's premiering in France, at a Sirius festival in Cannes, tomorrow. And I was hoping I was going to be able to make it out, but unfortunately too slammed, with the next projects. But, I think I'm going to be having a little viewing, party with some friends. I have a buddy of mine who's a really good friend who owns a mixed studio that has Atmos and all of that. So I think we're going to just, have some snacks and get some drinks and sit down and watch it.
Okay. It should be fun. I hope you enjoy that very much. It must be a bit of a surreal experience watching that with family and friends, kind of knowing that they're listening to your stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, though, that is so important, I think, you know, to me, at least at the end of the process, is being able to enjoy it with people, you know, because that's why I do it. I love composing. You know, I love the process of composing. I love the process of collaborating, but ultimately, like, I want to be able to, you know, share it with people and to enjoy it with others. And that's what, you know, brings me like some sort of like closure and satisfaction to the end that I did, you know, I did something significant. I made something and now it's out in the world. And it's one of those things, like if it was playing in theaters, I could just go and sit in the theater and like, there would be people there watching it. But like, on with streaming and all of those things, if you're not going to the premiere, then you may never be in a room where you witness anyone else enjoy it. And so I think that for me is an important final moment to feel like that I made some sort of impact. I guess.
Absolutely. It must be a wonderful feeling. You won't have to wait much longer. It's out very soon. So I hope you have a wonderful evening or whenever you choose to watch the first episode.
And
thank you so much for, you know, joining me today just to talk a bit about it and your work in it. It's always really interesting to hear about what goes on behind the scenes on all these huge shows that are on TV now, especially because of streaming, as you said. So, thank you so much for taking the time, Jay.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you then. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Headliner Radio, supporting the creative community.